间，大概看那个看连续剧，常常有万历年间的嘛哈。
So during his lifetime, there were four emperors succeeded to the throne, and among them, Emperor Wan Li. During his time, Master Hanshun became especially famous.
他从小啊，就很会背东西啊，所以像普门品，他念了几遍就可以背上。法华经呢，他到后来出家以后也是很快就背上。法华经。极品啊，很难的，在背上了，所以他代表他的文学底子各方面的条件都很好，修行也很好，所以他是明代四大高僧之一。
And it was said that Master Hanshun had extraordinary memory, and he can after he recite the Lotus Sutra several times, he can memorize by heart. And we all know the Lotus Sutra is very long. So that shows that he has really, you know, talents in literature as well. So he became one of the four monks, greatest monks during Ming Dynasty.
那明末在就是神宗万历的时候呢，他本来是不错的皇帝，到后来呢他就 不上朝，那也不看人家给他的奏文啊，所以又宦官专政，所以那时候很腐败。那另外一个高僧叫紫波大师，那时候又因为妖术案而死。
So during the late Ming Dynasty, the Emperor Shen Zong was good in originally, but during his later years, he became ignoring politics, ignoring his responsibilities, and instead doing a lot of constructions, building palaces, and he didn't want to care for what's going on for the people. And didn't really care about his people anymore. That led to a lot of corruptions and political upheavals. So a lot of good people are thrown into jail. And among of them, Master Zibo was imprisoned and died of persecution because of that.
那寒山大师也有两次被外放到广东那边去。
And Master Hanshun was also exiled during that time to Guangdong province, which was considered a rural area back then.
明末的佛教不振兴，除了神宗的关系，就皇帝的关系以外，还有跟朝廷的政策也有关系啊。
So the down spiral of the Buddhism during Ming Dynasty, of course, has something to do with Emperor Shen Zong, but it also has something to do with the policies during that time.
明末刚刚建国的时候呢，因为僧人很多人犯了罪就躲在僧团里头，所以他们就制定一个名册叫戒牒的。
So in the beginning of Ming Dynasty, because some people took advantage of monastics, and whenever they committed a crime, they will try to hide in Sangha. And because of that, the government invented a way of giving certificate to eligible monks.
那时候碰到饥荒的时候呢，他就印了一万份的那个戒牒啊，来换米粮。
And then later it developed to something like during great famine, the government will issue 10,000 certificates for monks just to sell them and to exchange monetary stuff.
不一定给 monastery， 他就是给政府用。
就是
卖那个政府拿那个钱来用。
就是政府换钱是吧？
对对对对，就像钱一样去换。
So the government actually will sell the certificate to get money, so they can buy rice during the Great Famine.
所以僧团就是一定更不好嘛，哈。
So in of course it will leads worse, gets worse and worse for monastics.
那他又禁止佛教超过100个人以上的聚会。
And the government also banned a great assembly of people more than 100 for attending lectures.
所以呢，学术方面根本不可能成长嘛。那僧团或者是信众对戒律啊也都不大清楚。那所以常常宫廷里面的是非也会去参与啊，还有时候会那时候就看会常常听到告来告去，就是僧团里面告来告去的。
Because of that, of course, because there's no encouragement for discussing Dharma, learning Dharma, so the Buddhist teachings is hard to develop, and a lot of monks became not well educated and don't know much about Dharma and especially the precepts and ignoring the precepts. And also they got involved with a lot of politics, and there's and from time to time there will be letters accusing monastics doing something.
那所以当佛明末的时候佛教就变得很腐败啊。那所以丛林那时候已经是算丛林制度的时候，也是很多反而是藏了很多罪恶的地方。
So when it came to the late Ming Dynasty, there are a lot of the Buddhism has already deteriorated so much that it became a place for people to hide crimes.
那所以里头因为僧众没有地方可以学嘛，哈，也没有地方可以修行嘛。那最重要就是根本就知识方面、义理方面根本就没有地方可以得到，所以呢。老实说，那时候佛法在佛教在很多地方其实都已经是没有了。
And because there's no place to learn, Buddha Dharma and or including precepts, the Sangha, the monastics, all became ignorant. So the true meaning of Dharma and Sangha actually had already died out during that time.
所以憨山大师其实他那时候等一下我跟大家介绍他就是开悟的经验啊，其实他那时候他已经是在禅修方面他是很有体验的，那他是觉得佛教这样亡不行，他就要做一些改革，就是他在潮汐，就是他们这次也会去参访的地方广东潮汐有丛林的改革。
So that was a kind of cultural social background when during Hanshin Das's lifetime. So he saw all of this and he said it can't be this way. We can't just let Dharma die away. And he became a great reformer to the monastic systems and started at the Caoxi Temple. The temple at Caoxi is also one of the places that Venerable Guoxing the tour will the pilgrim will visit.
潮汐是六祖慧能第一个开庭的嘛，所以呢憨山大师觉得禅宗的道场怎么可能可以被这样腐化，所以他就要做一些改革。我大概讲几个就好了，他怎么做丛林的改革。
And the temple in Caoxi, we all know, it was built by the sixth patriarch, Master Huineng. And it's really remarkable in Chang history, and it can't just be deteriorated like that. That's why Master Hanshen were determined to revive that temple.
Hanshen 大师其实他会到广东，他是被什么？充军的，流放的。 可是他就根本那时候，因为他已经很有名气了，所以人家都还是让他自由行动，所以他还可以做，你就可以知道他的个性啊，其实是很热忱的。
So the reason Master Hanshen arrived in Guangdong, where the temple in Caoxi was because he was exiled to that place. But you could tell that his personality, he's a very passionate person, really want to do something for Buddhism.
潮汐的主要是针对潮汐的南华寺。
And also because at that time he was already quite famous, so people let him do stuff even though he's in exile. And the temple was the temple we talked in Guangdong was the Nanhua Temple in Caoxi.
那他第一个呢，就先挖井，因为那个水很重要嘛，像万佛城。宣化上人去的时候，第一个也是要有水的地方。
So the first thing he did when he got to a Nanhua temple was he dig a well because water is crucial at that time.
那我上次去万佛城，他们就讲为什么原来那边是精神病的地方，可是就是因为没有水。所以他们搬开，因为水很贵，所以可见在一个地方可以一直延续水源很重要。
And it's water is always so important. Just like in California, the city of 10,000 Buddhas, that place we know built by Master Xuanhua. Before it was hospital for insane people. The reason the hospital moved away was because they don't have water, the source of water. That's just an illustration to see how important water is.
那第二个呢，就是六祖慧能的肉身还在南华寺，那没有人照顾，他就是把建筑重新建了以后，让六祖的肉身呢，可以在比较高可以服侍的地方，就是重新把它排比较让大家一看到就会尊敬的地方。
And also, in the Temple of Nanhua, the six patriarchs, Master Hui Nen's body was still there. So the second thing he did was really arrange his body to ascend it to a place that people can actually worship.
那我觉得师父很像憨山大师哈，因为他一到一个地方的时候，就要把一个制度建起来。师父要走以前，因为师公讲师父大概最多活到70岁嘛哈，所以师父其实有法鼓山以后呢，师父就一直在建我们建设呢，把制度。所以师父现在实际上走了。可是我们的那个字还可以运作跟师父把制度建立起来的做法是很有关系的。
So I feel our Shifu Master Shen Yan is just like Master Han Shen, because he started from zero and established rules, regulations for the temple, just like the Dam Draw Mountain he founded. He also established all the precepts, rules, regulations for many generations to come.
所以呢，憨山大师就是把制度建起来，那把全市的年轻人招几百个人，请他们重新受戒，那让真正的丛林应该怎么做的就怎么做。
So, Master Hanshen.Established rules, regulations, precepts for the temple, and also he gathered all the young monks and gave them precepts and asked, you know, teach them, taught them to observe precepts and do as the old, the sanghas did.
那憨山大师跟那时候的官啊，他关系也很好，都教他们怎么修行。那大家可以知道，假如说丛林没有人管的话，里头是各式各样的人都要有，只靠一个 深重是没有办法，所以他请那时候的有地位的官的人就来把那些店铺啊还有午夜的流棍啊，那叫做流氓啊恶棍啊，把他赶出那个寺院，这些都是很有魄力的。
And we'll know that so at that time Master Hanshen had a good relationship with a lot of government officials, so he could use their help, because we all know if a temple doesn't have any rules, regulations, and all kinds of people can come and live in temple, there could be gangsters, it could be business, small business people to opening up shops. So when Master Hanshen really want to make this temple a Buddhist temple again, he definitely need help from all these government officials to help him to clean up all and basically ask all those people to go away.
那时候僧团还养动物，养畜畜牧，所以他也把这个规矩给取掉，因为这样的话丛林就不容易清净，你还不卖这个都不行的。
And because at that time people didn't have ideas about precepts, they don't know what a Buddhist temple should look like. So they even raise animals within temples and they trade on animals. So that was so wrong that Master Hanshen got rid of that as well.
Hanshen 大师他是依照百丈清规来制造丛林的规矩哈。那他因为那时候僧众对戒律都不清楚嘛，所以他挑了十位，而且对着六祖发誓，还赤血发誓哈，说绝不舞弊，因为不清净那个钱就会搞不清楚嘛，所以呢收支会平衡啊，而且还会多出来，所以账目清楚，他供应就没有缺了。所以从这边可以知道汉山大师他是对寺院管理是很有经验啊。
And Master Hanshen, the way he managed the temple, he used the rules regulations from Master Bai Zhang, established by Master Bai Zhang, and he asked the people to vow on their blood that they will stick to precepts, because if they don't do that, they will get involved with money and all these precepts will be broken.
因为总共有十项哈，这边的资料呢，我是从
这个大家都看得懂。
高僧传有一篇憨山大师的一波行天涯啊，这本里头他里头讲得很清楚。他列了十项，我就大概跟大家介绍一下。
So, the material I cited are from the book. There's a book in Chinese about Master Hanshen's lifetime. So there are about 10 rules I will cite briefly.
所以以后的人感恩憨山大师，所以称憨山大师为潮汐中心之主啊。
Because Master Hanshen have done so much for Nanhua Temple in Caoxi, people later referred him as the reviver of this temple.
憨山大师的修行功力也很高哈，你知道不知道？他也是肉身，他也是在南华寺，可是他不在南华寺的里头，他是离开一点点。所以，假如你们有机会去的人。人的时候提醒问问看，应该可以同时再去看。他那边有三尊肉身。
And as to his personal practice, Master Hanshen also attained very high stages, and he also left a future generation his body in Caoxi, but it's not exactly in the Nanhua Temple. It was in another place very close to Nanhua Temple. So if you
好像是南华寺的下院，
oh, okay.
我没有时间查，好像 离得不远。
So his body is still, sorry, his body is still in the Nanhua Temple, but not together with Master Huinen's body, probably in another room. If you ever got a chance to visit Nanhua Temple, you will see three physical bodies of masters there.
那现在跟大家就是分享一下憨山大师他的修行方面啊，因为观心明主要就是跟修行有关系的。
So now we will turn to Master Hamshen's his personal achievements and his Buddhist series.
他是重视实修实证。
So he placed a great emphasis in practicing and to verify me yourself.
但他也认同经典。
But he also recognized the importance of sutras and all the classic texts.
所以他认为教理的基础跟真实的修行啊都很重要。
So he thinks both theory and practice are important.
他三十岁的时候呢，在五台山有一个很不错的经验啊。他是那时候在五台山的时候，叫五台山龙门啊的时候，他坐在那边的时候，老是听到那个声音干扰他。
So, about his thirties, he was at Mount Wutai, and he had a very good experience. During that time, he was sitting there, and he always hearing some kind of sound bothering him.
那他那时候就不知道怎么办。
And he didn't know what to do at that time.
那他有一个很好的同道师兄叫妙峰大师，妙峰大师跟他的碰面也是很有名的一个故事。
So at that time he has a great monastic companion called Master 妙峰。
他就请问妙峰大师说怎么办？我这样被外面那个声音干扰。
So he asked Master 妙峰 what he should do with this the sound which annoyed him.
妙峰大师就对他讲，境界的生灭变化是把意识攀缘而生，不是从外面来的。
So Master 妙峰 responded that the arising and perishing of the outside phenomenon actually doesn't come from the outside. It is because of our attachment and our consciousness of that.
所以呢，他回去以后呢，他就坐在桥上面去听，就故意去听。
So when Master Hanshan heard of that, he went back to the place where the noise was.
他是每天都去做哦。
And he was just sitting just in that place where the noise is loudest, and he went there every day.
他开始的时候呢，当然有听到声音啊。那时间做久的时候，他只要念头一动就有声音，他念头不动的时候就听不到声音。
And so he was sitting there right in the noise, in front of the noise, and he realized whenever he gave rise to a thought, he would hear the noise. But if he didn't give rise to a thought, he wouldn't hear.
那时候呢，有一天他坐在木桥上听的时候，突然忘掉了身体。
So one day he was sitting on that bridge where the noise was from. He suddenly felt lost his body and mind.
所以从那时候呢，声音再大声像雷一样啊，都也不会干扰他心的安静。
And from that moment on, no matter how loud the noise is, it wouldn't bother him anymore.
这是他苦修出来的哈。
So this is an example illustration of how he practiced to overcome and gain insights from it.
那在38岁的时候呢，他到盘山千相峰的时候，
when he was 38 years old, he went to another place.
他碰到一个隐者，就是在那边自己修行的人啊。
And he met a hermit there.
那他进去的时候，那个隐者根本没有理他。
And when he went in, the hermit didn't even the hermit ignored him.
那他就那个隐者喝水，他也跟着喝；隐者打坐，他也跟着打；他精行，他也跟着精行。
So what Master Han Shen did was, whenever the hermit went up, got up to have water, he will get up to have water. Whenever the hermit went sitting, and he would go sitting. So he just followed his suit.
那第二天呢，他大概知道他的时间，他就帮他做。
And the next day, Master Han Shen already figured out the hermit's schedule, so he would boil water for him first, and then do all the things that he knew that the hermit would do.
那过了一个礼拜，那个隐者才跟他讲话。
So they actually they lived just like this for a week, and until then, the hermit started talking.
那为什么介绍这一段呢？因为他有一天，就是因为跟那个隐者一直在那边走路，有一天的时候，他突然那个门顶门呐、啊，就轰了一声，他的山河大地，就是他的环境跟身心的突然顿空，就是没有空的境界了，就是相对的空没有了。
So the reason we talked about this was because one day when Master Han Shen was following this hermit to walk around, to do the walking meditation, and suddenly he felt that on top of his he felt something on top of his head, and then he looked around the mountains, the whole world disappeared. So at the time he realized the he gave up the relative emptiness.
他这个空不是耳根眼根跟空的相对的，他是他的心跟空的定相应的。
So that type of emptiness is not just the emptiness of your eye consciousness or ear consciousness, hearing consciousness. It was the consciousness of the mind and the environment.
那他那时候大概一炷香大概三四个钟头嘛，大概两三个钟头的以后，他慢慢觉得身体的存在了，那脚也踩到地上，也有那个感觉，他眼睛睁开看山河大地啊，好像他的生理心理都恢复跟以前一样，可是身体他是觉得好像有股风给他这样拖住，而且心情很愉快。
So it lasted for about 2 or 3 hours after that experience, and then he gradually gained the sensation of the body, and he felt like his legs, his feet are on the ground, but he felt his body was so light as if it was carried around by a kind of wind, and he felt very pleasure, felt a great sense, pleasure, pleasing sensation.
他说心里的感受他不知道用什么来形容、啊、
And he actually said he didn't know how to describe the joyful, pleasurable sensation felt in his mind.
那个隐者就问他呢，诶，你今天进行为什么那么久？他就把这个经验跟他分享。
So when he got back, the hermit asked him, how come it took you so long to walk around today? So Master Han Shen shared his experience with the hermit.
那隐者就跟他讲啊，他说你还是在色蕴里面的境界，不是本有的心性中的，你的那个经验还不是本有的心性。他说，隐者说，我在这边30多年，除了下雪天有下雨天以外，我每天的精行都是这个样子。
So after hermit listened to Master Han Shen's experience, he said, well, your experience was still within the forms aggregate. It's not the true it's not the ultimate experience within the true mind. So, because every day, except it's raining or snowing, I walk out and have this experience every day.
他最重要的原则就跟他讲，你不要再只有在这个境界上，因为你只要在这个境界上，你那个心性就提不起来。
So the hermit advised that Master Hanshen that do not stop at this experience because if you contend with this experience and stop here, you won't go further to experience the real true mind.
那个境界他们叫正定，就是还是在定中的，叫 Samadhi 的 定中。
So that type of experience, people will still refer to it as a deep Samadhi stage.
那从这边可以看到有同修或者有老师的重要，要不然他以为那个境界他已经到了，他就不会有真正的清修的时候再度的开悟，叫圆融诸法。那时候
So from this story we could tell how important it is to have a good teacher, a good knowing advisor to be with you, to give you advice, so you won't stop at this level and mistaken for enlightenment.
他这次开大悟，他不是在打坐中，他是看有人要叫他就是对稿，因为他的文学中文的底子很好，文学底子很好，就有一个太守啊要他看赵论的物不迁论这本赵论的物不迁论这个
So so the great enlightenment came to Master Hanshen actually not during his sitting meditation.Was actually during during a
他是在看还是在跟他对话？
不是，他在看。
哦，
他在看，他把他校稿。
Actually, was a reading and editing a book for a government official because he was a good poet and very good at literature. So the government official asked him to edit in his article. His great enlightenment actually came that time. At that time.
他有对一句话哈，他的那个意思就是说风在动，可事实上他没有在动，他怎么样，他叫玄蓝啊，就是山蓝的蓝，艳玉啊，就是可是山都没有动，他就觉得很奇怪，为什么会对这个东西在动，为什么没有动呢，环境都没有动，为什么呢？
So when he was doing the editing, there was a line says,The wind is floating, the wind is moving around, but actually it is not moving. So he gave rise to great doubt. Why it says the wind is blowing, is moving, but actually it is not moving.
因为他看到一个句子哈，就是那个论里面，物不迁论里面，他有一个人，他出家修行，头发白了以后才回来，那个人叫樊志哈。那邻居就问他说过去的凡智还在吗，凡智回答说我和过去的凡智相似，但又不是过去的凡智，是不像国行法师讲的。
So Master Hanshen continued to do the editing, and when he came across a sentence, came across a story that there was a person called Fan Zhi,went out and practicing Buddha Dharma, and when he came back, he's already very old with all the gray hairs, and all his neighbors asked, are you the same old Fan Zhi? And then he responded, well, I look similar to the Fan Zhi in the past, but I'm not actually the Fan Zhi anymore, the person anymore.
看到这个的呢，他就是憨山大师忽然大悟的时候，他说啊，原来我们深信的真理是这个样子，一切万物在本体上来讲它没有来没有去啊，但是永远在那边的啊，它就是因为它本来就在那边的。
So when he came across that story, he became enlightened completely, and he said, oh, it is just like that, that all phenomenon in its nature, there's no rising or perishing, but and it is always there.
那时候是秋天哈，所以在北方的秋天跟我们这边一样，叶子会落很多的哈。他一出来的时候呢，他就看到那个叶子落下来，其实事实上好像都没有哈。那他上厕所的时候有小便，可是他就是看到他没有那个流的那个动向哈，他就做了一个记子哈。
嗯嗯。So at the time in when he had this great enlightenment experience, it was the fall season, just like here. In during the fall, all the leaves are falling and flying in the sky. So when Master Hansheng went out and saw the falling leaves, he felt like even though the leaves are falling down, they're actually no moving. And when he went into the bathroom, and he was urinating, and he felt that there is no moving water out of him. So at that time, he wrote a poem.
这个碰呢，就是斜着看。此生昼夜水流花谢，今日乃知鼻孔向下。因为这一句常常会听到，所以跟大家介绍一下。
So the poem he wrote is showed on the PowerPoint. Unfortunately, it's the other, you need to rotate 90 degrees to be able to read the Chinese. So it is quite famous four line poems, and people often talk about it. It says, birth and death, day and night, water flowing, flowers blossom and died away.Only today that I know all my nostrils are downwards.
那就可以知道，其实很多东西都是现成。可是因为我们的心的关系，鼻孔本来就朝下，可是现在朝下跟开悟以后的朝下那个感觉是不一样。他也就是在这时候38岁的时候呢，他对，因为他从小对生对死就一直在打问号。38年来啊，大概30年来。他这个疑团才解开。
So you will see from this poem, they all have described ordinary stuff. There's nothing that we don't know. For example, nostrils are downwards. Of course, your nostrils facing down, facing downwards. But because Master Hansheng has been having this great sensation of doubt for almost 30 years, because he.Have been questioning life and the birth since he was a little child. So at the age of 38, he finally had this enlightenment experience.
So in 30 岁的时候他苦修到彻悟到心性啊，到38岁的时候他就是对于生死的疑团他已经看破了。在中间呢他有个很有就是三个梦啊，讲一个中间一个梦。他第一个梦他是跟那个清凉国师那个有一些很好的体验，第三次是跟文殊菩萨的，那第二次呢他在兜率内院的时候做梦，梦到弥勒佛，弥勒佛跟他开示哈，就是分别是事，无分别是智，一事就是然，一智就尽，然有生死，尽无诸佛，就是是清净的。
So, for Master Hansheng, when he's at the age of 30, he went into Mount Wutai and practiced diligently. And at the age of 38, he got this great enlightenment experience, finally had his doubt, which built over 30 years, shattered at that time. And I also want to mention three important dreams that he had helped him advance his practice and the stage. And one dream, he had a dream that he went in to hear Dharma talks even by the Master Qingliang, and That was one dream. Another dream, he was given by Bodhisattva Maitreya. In that dream, Maitreya gave his Dharma talk, gave him Dharma talks. And the second dream that happened when he was 33, the third dream was given by Manjushri Bodhisattva, and his second dream was given by Maitreya Bodhisattva. And Maitreya Bodhisattva said, differentiating is consciousness. Non-differentiating is the wisdom. Following consciousness, you will have the defilement, but the following wisdom, there's purification of the mind. So in defilement, there's birth and death. In purification, there's no Buddhas, there's none of Buddhas. And when Master Hanshen heard of this poem, heard of this lecture, his body and mind suddenly became very empty.
这个是所以做梦啊，也对于我们开悟有帮忙哈，所以不要怕做梦。
So this just shows that it is actually even dreaming can help or advance our practice. So do not be afraid of dreaming.
可是呢，要精进修行，因为你看他做这个梦的时候是大概33岁，30岁就有不错的体验，38岁就是很深的。体验，所以这中间的那个梦是清净的。那我们现在做的梦是什么？
Of course,
梁皇大梦。
But of course, when we say dream can help you, it only happens when you practice diligently. Because in the daytime you practice diligently, and in the nighttime, you know, we will dream about practice.But not like us, if we don't practice diligently, our dreams has nothing to do with practice.
那憨山大师因为他从小就被人家很早好好的培养啊，所以他文学底子很好啊。那他著作很多，他是明末啊，以四大师来讲，他是传记资料最完整的一位。那师父其实对憨山大师。我觉得我就是看了这个，以前看不觉得，现在看师父也是对文化对历史很注重。70年谱是一对夫妻啊，我现在名字林清贤他跟他太太写的，师父的遗嘱里面就讲说他不要人家他没有看过的不要再帮他写，只有80年谱，他请他们这对夫妻再把他10年的再写下来。
嗯 ，So because Master Hanshen received a good education on literature when he was young, so he became a great poet and a great writer, and his writings are quite a lot among all the four great monks in Ming Dynasty.And he knows a lot about the culture, the history, and that just reminds me of our Shifu Master Shen Yan, which also plays a great emphasis on history, culture. So there's a little story, a side story, that Shifu, before he passed away, he said there should be no publications after he passed away. But he made one exception that he asked one couple to write his biography, especially last 10 years, and he authorized them to do that.
所以憨山大师刚刚讲开悟啊，他有宗教的经验跟开悟的境界啊，那他的学问又很深薄啊，那大家有文学底子好一点的人可以去看看啊，
嗯，
那他又弘化。你可以看到他很多的文跟居士写的信啊，都是教人家怎么样修行啊，诚心明。就这次，只要有机会，可能下次我就会练习那篇啊。诚心明就是他跟居士写的一个名啊，
嗯，
所以他也影响到后世。
So, Master Hanshen is very knowledgeable, and also he is a great writer.So he has a lot of publications and writings, and he's also actually corresponding, writing letters to lay people or government officials there's a lot of correspondence on Buddha Dhamma. So he actually have many pieces that is good for people to study. Next time I will probably pick another piece to learn.
因为他对明代佛教的贡献，所以称为明代的四大高僧之一。
And because of his great contribution to Buddhism during Ming Dynasty, so he was praised as one of the four great monks, high monks during Ming Dynasty.
知道哪四位吗？寒山大师一位哈，第一位莲池大师，朱红，就是他的名字名号叫朱红。第二位紫薄大师，大家比较知道是叫他的字叫达观，达观大师啊。那第三个就是憨山大师，他德清跟成印啊，还有最后一个就是师父的博士论文偶义大师智许偶义啊，这个大家都比较清楚的。那其实师父的英文书里面都有写他们四位大师的。
So do you know which are the four great monks during Ming Dynasty? The first one is Master Lian Chi, and his name, his given name was
Zhu Hong.
His given name is Zhu Hong. And second one is Master Zibo, and his given name is Zheng Ke, but his another name is Da Guan, so he is more popularly known as by Da Guan. And the third one is Master Han Shen, and his given name is De Qing, and his another name is Chen Ying. The last one is Master O Yi, which actually Shi Fu's doctorate dissertation wrote about him, and his name is Zhi Xu.
那他们四位啊，其实有同时在明朝的时间，可是呢，紫薄大师从来跟偶一大师没碰过面，跟啊不是寒山大师跟偶一大师都没有碰过面，跟紫薄大师碰过好几次，莲池大师只有一次。那我去 Google 查资料的时候，有一位那个写的，他说当他们四位大师对谈的时候会讲些什么。有兴趣你们去看看，很有意思。
So all of these four great monks during Ming Dynasty, actually their lifetime overlaps, so it is possible they could all meet and have a meeting, but it never happened. So Master Han Shen never met Master O Yi, and Master Han Shen had a couple of meetings with Master Zibo, and he only had one meeting, he only met Master Lian Chi once. So there was, when I was preparing this talk in Google online, there was a little article that people put together saying, what if all these four great masters met and have a conversation, what would be saying?
那从他的传记里面可以知道哈，他其实他的一生是很辛苦的。那他的著作晚年的时候他也写了很多的文章哈，但是可以从里头他答应的事情他一定尽量去做，而且他越被挫越勇，那他很感恩很惜福啊，所以从他这边可以看到他慈悲跟智慧啊，他那个行义是我们可以学的。
So from Master Han Shen's biography, one could tell that Master Han Shen have gone through a lot of hardship in his lifetime. And other than that, all these great writings, great Dharma talks he left behind, his life also demonstrated how his persistence and he become even braver when he encounters frustrations or difficulties, and he's also very grateful and cultivate a lot of blessings. So his conduct, his personality is very noble and worth learning from.
关心明啊，是师父在1980年禅期的时候开始啊， 那跟大家介绍一下，那时候师父在什么样的状况讲这篇诗，名字类似诗一样。
So now we are going to get to the poem itself, contemplating the mind. First, I want to give you some background. When our Shifu, Master Shen Yan, gave talks on this poem, it was back in 1980s during an intensive seven-day retreat.
1979年，师父在9031，就是9056的斜对面，现在就是不是盖了一个好几层的楼吗？三层还是四层？那边有一棵树。最靠近那个树就是9031的两层楼，刚刚买下来哈，是靠信众的帮忙买下来的，而且那时候道场跟我们一样在装修中。
So, the series of talk was given at a place, the first building that Shifu purchased with the help of lay people, that was back in 1979.And the location was at the address of 90-31 across the avenue.
那时候实际上在装修啊，可师父还决定在那个新的道场叫禅中心 Chan Meditation Center. 所以人家就问说，为什么你们的 legal name 是 Institute of Zhonghua Buddhist Culture Inc. 那为什么大家都叫 Chan Meditation Center, 缘由就是在这边。
And at that time, the new place Shifu purchased was still under renovation. And Shifu decided to name the new place Chan Meditation Center. So that's why, if you look at our record, the old place was called the Institute of Chinese Buddhist, Zhonghua, Chinese Buddhist Culture Association Inc.
Is our legal name still our legal name in IOCHBC ICOBAC?
So that's why our legal name is different from Chan Meditation Center.
Okay. So Chan Meditation Center is our assumed name. Okay. 师父在那时候就决定，在1980年就已经决定一年要四次的 intensive。就是精进禅修，就那时候决定，一直到师父2006年，是不是2004年，师父就2006年还来一次，到2004年，你看看多久的时间，2004再加二十几年，44年，是不是二十四年，25年是吧？对，24年，24年中都没断过，就可以知道一个修行的人啊，当他决定要做什么事情，所有的困难他都会想办法。24年中间没有断过，嗯。
So at that time, back in 1979, Shifu has already decided that when the new place was ready, the Chan Meditation Center, he's going to hold retreats, intensive Chan retreats 4 times a year. So starting from 1980 all the way to the year 2004, he holds retreats every year and never stops. And this just shows for 25 years his dedication to having retreats in Chan Meditation Center. And whenever a master decides to do something, he will never give up, no matter what difficulties he has to face.
所以那时候定下来的一个大概是每个晚上开始2个钟头，中英文翻译，那主要是把禅宗祖师的开始拿来跟大家分享，跟你的禅修做结合。
So at that time during the retreat, every night, Shifu will give a Dharma talk, both in English and Chinese for 2 hours. Mostly, are the Chan Master's writings.
那这 关心明呢，就是在9031的第一个禅期。师父以前在别的地方有打过带过禅期，可是9031的第一个禅期就是讲关心明，花了五个晚上讲完了，等于十个钟头的。
So the very first talk given at the new place at that time with the contemplating in mind, and Shifu spent 5 nights and each night talking for 2 hours. So in total, Shifu spent 10 hours on this contemplating the mind.
应该是五个小时，因为翻译一半嘛，哈。
Okay.
五个小时，师父讲五个小时。
So, well, the actual talking from Shifu is 5 hours, but another 5 hours probably the translation.
那关心明是明末憨善大师啊，他在1546年到1623年，就是78岁这中间的一个住宿。可是大家不知道他是什么时候、什么场合讲这个关心明的，找资料没找到。
So this poem, Contemplating Mind, is included in Master Hanshen's the Dream Roaming, Master Hanshen's Dream Roaming booklet. So people didn't exactly know when and on what occasion he wrote this poem.
那他主要的他列在憨山大师梦游集里面的一个其中的一个名。那他是指导禅修者怎么样修行啊？那还有指明他的心要的一个诗记啊。
And so this poem was included in the Master Hanshen's Dreams Roaming, and this poem was used to guide practitioners how to practice, and also point out the mind of the true mind of the practice.
那它是地观，观的用地啊，等一下我跟大家解释什么是地啊，就是地观这个心无相，就是观身心在变为无相这方面提出的一个诗记。
So this poems have the different stages, talks of different stages of contemplating that starts from the body, the mind, and the emptiness, the formlessness.
那师父也在里头提到了哈，这首诗呢是讲修行的方法，它离不开身跟心。
And 师父 also said this poem is about the methods of practice, and practice cannot be deviated from the body and the mind, because there's a
那个身跟心都是修行的工具啊。那这个观心明主要心嘛哈，它着重在讲心的作用方面。
Because the body and the mind are the tools of our practice, and this poem emphasizes on the mind.
好，我们现在开始讲。
So we'll get started with a poem.
好，先让大家念第一，它这个是总共有52句，那每一行4句，所以总共13行52句。
So the entire poem has 13 lines, and each line has 4 couplets, of 2 couplets. So in total, you have 52. Four words line.
好，我们今天就先讲第一行。
So we will discuss the first line.
好，我们先念英文好了。念我1.1，就是第一行的第一句。1.2、1.3、1.4，好，开始哈。
So the 1.1 means it's the first the four words.
把英文先念完以后，我们再念一行，念完英文以后再念中文。
So we'll read English first and then Chinese.
为什么这样呢？因为字太小，所以我就是一面，这样大家可以看得到。好，开始。
Look upon the body as unreal.As an image in a mirror, or the reflection of the moon in water. contemplate the mind as being without form.
这个早打一个 D, OK, 没关系，等一下再讲。
Yet bright and pure.
OK.
So that's the first line.
好。
光
身非身，
镜像水月，观心无相，光明皎洁。
好，我们从好观心明的观字哈，它是地观，地呢主要的它有仔细，很仔细的，我们不是常常会听谛听，谛听吗？谛听知道是谁吗？是地藏菩萨的那个神兽，它叫谛听，它的名字叫谛听。可是我们在念经的时候，佛都说要谛听，谛听就是你很仔细的听，洗耳恭听的听，很注意的听。所以就是谛观这个观呢、啊，就是主要就是很仔细、很详细、很一心一意的观这个心。嗯、
so the first Chinese character 观 here means contemplate very carefully, very attentively. For example, this 观 also appeared in another Chinese phrase called.For example, we say this contemplating is called 地观, because the word 地 has the meaning of listening attentiveness or carefulness. So, for example, in another phrase, 地听, 听 means listening, and 地 is an adjective to describe you should listen very carefully, attentively, and it was mentioned in sutras, for example, the restoring Bodhisattva sutra, it was said, and it was one of his, it's a divine pet, it's called, the name is Di Ting. So when Buddha, whenever he was giving a talk, he would say Di Ting means you should listen carefully and listen attentively. So here we said,The first character, guan, really means 地观, you should contemplate very carefully, very attentively.
所以呢，观身非身，镜像水月，观心无相，光明皎洁。这个第一行呢，是它的这个名里面的一个主要的意思，全诗的主旨，就是它主要就是讲这个。
So the first line, look upon the body as unreal, as an image in a mirror, or the reflection of the moon in water, contemplating the mind as being without form, yet bright and pure. The first line already reveals the central thought of the entire poem.
那修行是由身与心为对象。
So we say our practice has objects. The object is the body and the mind.
那最终的目标，最后的我们希望得到的结果就是观心无相，光明皎洁。
And the ultimate goal of our practice is to reach the stage of contemplating the mind as being without form, yet bright and pure.
所以要想观心无相的话，必须要先从观身非身。
So if you want to get to the stage of contemplate the mind as being without a form, you have to start with look upon the body first. Look upon the body as unreal.
那怎么样让你的观身非身呢？憨山大师要你镜中要像镜里面的像啊，镜中像水中月一样的。这样他只讲这么一句、
So how can you achieve the result of look upon the body as unreal? And he next line illustrate that you have to look at it as an image in a mirror or the reflection of the moon in water.
那师父呢，因为一句这样就带过了嘛，那师父呢就用五蕴跟四大来进一步说身心的关系。
Because in the poem it's very concise, it just have this one line. So Shifu in his talks, he used the concept of five aggregates and the four elements of the body to further further illustration of further talked about what this means.
五蕴很多人应该都了解哈，那因为也有新来的菩萨，所以很快的跟大家解释一下什么叫五蕴，什么叫四大。等一下下堂应该是下次了，下次的时候讲五蕴跟四大的时候呢就会比较清楚。
I think most people here already heard what five aggregates are and four elements are, but maybe they're newcomers, so we'll quickly go through the five aggregates and the four elements of body, so next time you'll know what they refer to.
五蕴，这样看得清楚吗？
Can you see clearly?
Okay. 所以五蕴是色、受、想、行、识。
So the five skandhas or aggregates are the form, sensation, perception, volition, and consciousness.
那色部分呢，就是红色部分呢，就是讲我们的生理现象跟物质的现象。
So the word in red, in red is addresses the form, which is the physical world, including the body.
那心理部分呢，就从第二到第五，受想行识。
And from the second point to the fifth point are the mental world, describes the mental world.
那再来，我们再讲色部分哈，有四大。
So in the form, there have our there's our physical body, which is part of the entire physical world.
为什么马上跳到身？因为身跟心是我们修行的工具，就是你要先把它怎么样看空啊？好，先把它身体用四大的元素结合的地、水、火、风。
So why do we jump into the body first? Because this is a tool for practice. And for body, it consists of four elements. Earth, water, fire, and wind.
好，地就是像比较硬的，像地一样。骨头，还有呢？除了骨头还有什么？牙齿，啊？筋骨，皮肤，肌肉。都属于地哈，好，水 blood 啊
，so the first element, is earth. So what can, so what of our bodies consists of earth, and you know the earth element, like teeth, bones, they are all firm and hard. That's we believe it's consist by the earth element, and also our skin and muscle.
那水呢？除了血液，还有什么？唾液、尿啊，汗。
And the second one, what consists? What part of body consists of the water element? Well, things like blood, saliva, sweat.
那想问一下，神经算地还是算神经？还是算什么？算地啊？那那个脂肪呢？胖的那个脂肪呢？算地还是水？会化掉的哈，应该算水啊。好好，那火呢？像我们的体温，除了我们体温以外，还有什么？很生气的时候叫火大。
So
是我自己加的。
So for water, for example, urine is a water element as well, consists of water. And for, we were just discussing, what about nerves? Did that belong to the earth element or water element? And also the fat, did that belong to which elements? And people believe the fat probably belongs to the water element. And the next one is...
Nerve.
nerve belongs to the earth element. And the third one, the fire element. And things like body temperature belongs to the fire element. Just like when we see someone gets angry, as if there's a body burning in that person's body, fire burning in that person's body, so the body temperature goes up.
精神部分呢是受，就是苦乐忧喜舍的感受。
So the second skandhas of the five aggregate, five skandhas are the sensation, about sensation. So there's different types of sensations. For example, you feel suffering and joy, worry, happiness, sacrifice, or all kinds of sensations.
想好坏善恶的分辨等等很多，这是举例两种。
And for the scandal of perception, we have all the differentiating of good, wholesome, unwholesome, good and bad.
行发动身口意等的行为。
And for the fourth scandal of volition, this refers to the tendency of body, mind, and speech.
所以呢，假如在定中啊，身定的时候，它行的作用还有没有？哎，礼拜三讲过，应该有。假如没有的话，它出不了定啊，所以它行是很细微的。在他的意啊还在流动，所以他用行的是中文很意思很好，所以他一直在动。
So for the this fourth scandal volition, we asked questions when people in deep samadhi stage, do they still have volition going on? And the answer is yes. Otherwise, they won't be able to get out of the deep samadhi stage. So the volition, scandal volition is very subtle. Even when one is in deep samadhi, the consciousness is still, the tendency of the consciousness, the volition is still going on underneath.
那是呢，在以南传的他们讲啊，就到五世这边，他们不谈六七八，甚至讲九。是呢，主要是分别跟执着、造业，还有业的种的一个总和。就是我们常常会听到六七八九，就是这个，就是五识里面包含六七八九识。
And the last scandal is the consciousness scandal. For this last one, Theravada Buddhism actually only talks about the first five consciousness, but for Mahayana Buddhism, it talks about the sixth consciousness, seventh consciousness, the eighth consciousness, and even ninth consciousness. So consciousness refers to the attachment or discernment of all the karmas and the seeds of the karmic, the seeds of the karmas, and that's how it refers to.
所以可以知道，受想行识是心理的现象，精神活动的范围啊。
So we know the last four skandhas, sensation, perception, volition, consciousness, they all belong to the mental world.
所以众生包括人啊的生命的现象啊，就是这五个色五蕴，就包括色受想行识。
So all the phenomenon of life for individuals to experience are all consisted of these five skandhas.
那假如说没有办法体验到五蕴是空，那我们永远是凡夫的境界。
So if you can experience that all five skandhas are empty, then you're always an ordinary people, and you can't experience the saint's stage.
那只剩三分钟啊，所以师父怎么用五蕴四大来讲观身非身这个，还有观心无相，怎么来延伸？要不然的话，就这一句啊，而且用禅修的角度来讲。
So there's only 3 minutes left, and Shifu actually expound on how to use five skandhas and four elephant body to illustrate how to practice. I was just informed I have 10 more minutes. So how to expound on five skandhas, we actually are talking, discussing this from the perspective of the Heart Sutra, and Shifu actually also wrote books and articles on Heart Sutra, so it will be consistent with his theory.
我们一切的现象在时间的轴来讲的时候呢，一直都在变。现在、过去、未来，都是一直变、一直变的，你根本抓不到。你说我要抓到现在，已经过去了。
So all phenomena are constantly changing. You can say, I want to seize this moment. I want to grasp the past, or present, or future. You can do it because it's constantly changing.
那在空间的位置也一样。现在我坐在这边哈。等一下两分钟十分钟以后我就不坐在这里了所以任何一个椅子桌子人聚在一起环境都是这个样子
And that just
go ahead.
So that just refers to time as to space it's the same way right now I'm sitting here but 10 minutes later I'll be gone and the seat is empty and also the chairs the tables right now it's hereBut later it will be in different positions. So the sense of space is constantly changing as well.
我是刚这个 spot, 我 moved to the basement.
So right.
就是我变了变了、
So you see how it changes even in the sense of space. Right now I'm sitting here on this spot. But next moment I could be down the basement.
所以没有不变的我。
So there's a...There's no self that's not changing or permanent.
所以刚刚讲的物理现象、身体、心理现象都没有，因为时间、空间都一直在变的。
So just like how we talked about all phenomena, all physical phenomena, all body, all mind, they're all constantly changing. Nothing is permanent and never changing.
所以我们知道五蕴。没有一个是长的，就是不变的。
So we know all five skandhas, none of them are permanent or not changing.
那也没有一个是有一个固定的我在那边。
And also there was not a fixed permanent I that always there.
所以生命的组合啊，就是我们生命的流转是怎么样，由五蕴组成。既然心理、生理、环境都没有办法不动的，一定都在变化的，所以怎么样？所以不要执着。
And because five skandhas that consists of life are constantly changing, so what our attitude should be towards it, that we shouldn't attach to any of that.
这些都是我们观念上的了解。
So, so all of these are just our intellectual understanding.
要修行就是让观念上的了解落实下来。
So practice means how can you apply to your apply your intellectual understanding to your real life?
假如真正的实证，我没有执着的那个对象是没有的，也没有我这个我的话，就是怎么样？我们叫的开悟，叫解脱。
So if you can experience actually, there's no self, and all phenomena constantly changing, and that is what we call enlightenment or liberation.
所以把无常无我就跟，也就是讲空，空性啊，空。空的意思就是精神、心理，或者是物质、身体，都是临时有的现象。但它的实体啊，它的就是我们讲佛性啊，是不变的。
So that's why we.
就是它的实体也会变的、啊，应该这样讲。它有临时现象有，可是它的实体是也是会变动的，无不变的实体。
你是说
对对对啊，不是佛性。就是说我们
okay, so that's how we associate that no non-permanence, no self with emptiness. That's how we understand emptiness, because all the physical world or the mental world, they are all just temporarily exist. There's no substance that will never changing.
所以佛法讲的空啊，并不是否认现象世界的有，是临时的有，变化的有。
So the emptiness, the concept of emptiness in Buddhism, in Buddha Dharma, is not nihilism. It doesn't deny the existence, the temporary existence, and it just emphasizes all the existence are temporary, are changing, but there's no.Inherent substance behind it.
因为没有实体啊，所以它没有障碍。但是呢，它并不障碍有。
Because there is no inherent substance behind this temporary existence, so there is no obstacle.
它重。
Because the substance, there is no substance, it doesn't.Necessarily deny that there is existence.
所以不执着永恒的有，变化的有，我们了解哈。同时也不执着永恒的有，但也不否定变异的有，就是变化的有是不否定的。
So we don't attach to a permanent self, a permanent form, but we also do not deny that the form in changing.Format in temporarily there is existence.
所以这个空叫无自性。
So that's why we call this emptiness with no self, no inherent characteristics.
所以无自性呢，就是一切的现象没有不变的自性，没有永恒的实体。
So when we say there's no inherent characteristics of all phenomena, we're saying there's no object that will that no object is always permanent and not changing.
那最重要要实证啊，只要能够实证刚刚心经讲的空呢，我们就是对于生命的一个超越，它不用开悟，不用解脱，就是你超越你自己的生命。
Of course, the most important thing is to experience that yourself. So that is the emptiness talked by Heart Sutra, and then you can surpass your life.
可以了吗？可以哈。所以呢，下个礼拜呢，还是我跟大家见面哈，就用师父怎么用五蕴跟四大来解释第一行的观身。非身观心无相，所以呢，只要天气好的话，请早一点来。
So that's it for today. And the next time, also next week, we'll continue the talk. And we will continue to explain how Shifu used five skandhas and four elements of body to explain the first line of contemplating the mind. And if the weather is nice, please come on time.
Okay, 我们回想。